on Monday, we began seeking the ox, then seeing the traces. Yesterday, Tuesday, we moved on to first finding the ox and then catching the ox. Today we will look at the fifth and the sixth picture. So we will be moving into the middle. We are now also just about at the middle point in our retreat. The fifth picture, if you may have seen it outside, is taming the ox. After seeing the traces, catching sight of the bull itself, then actually catching the bull, now the process, the work of taming, that is herding. An ox does work around the farm. It has a purpose to serve. So it is now, after having wandered off into the wilds, it is now being brought back to do the work that must be done. Remember, the ox is not something separate from you. This is the process of taming, or with the metaphor of an animal, herding the ox, taking the ox out to where it can do its work, its proper place, its proper domain. In the previous picture, you see the boy with the rope, perhaps struggling to catch, to grab the ox. Here, on the contrary, the boy is simply walking. The rope is still there, but it's rather loose now, and the ox is obediently following the boy. The boy does not have to really wrestle, struggle, but he simply walks, perhaps with the tether, the rope still attached. But now the ox follows behind. The prose for this fifth picture, taming the ox or herding the ox, is this. Once a thought arises, another surely follows. Wake up, and all becomes truth. Abide in ignorance, and all is false. This is not due to external outside conditions. It arises due to mind, due to your self-deceiving mind. Hold tight the rope. Do not waver. In other words, do not go back and forth. Reading it once again with necessary comment. Once a thought arises, another surely follows. I don't need to explain that to you, do I? Wake up, and all becomes truth. Abide in ignorance, and all is false. This is right at that point. It just takes the least little movement of the mind, and what seemed completely clear and boundless all of a sudden becomes a tangle again, huh? a very subtle point in the practice and why it is necessary to tame, to herd, to discipline patiently. It kindly explains, as it said, wake up, all becomes truth. Abide, stay, get stuck in ignorance, and all is false. This is not due to, not because of external conditions. You cannot blame it on the conditions. It arises due to your mind, of course. This becomes clear at this point in your practice. With just one thought, all is, in a sense, back to where we began, confusion. That thought is gone, and it's a vast, boundless oasis. It becomes clear. It's not the conditions. It's the mind itself. And so it ends, this prose commentary ends with, hold tight the rope, do not waver. In other words, don't go back and forth. Maintain, sustain that. This is why we have a retreat. Now the poem for the fifth picture. Don't let go. Don't separate from. Don't let go. Don't separate from the whip and the tether or the rein. In other words, the things that are used to control an ox. This is, of course, a metaphor. It's talking about our practice and the discipline. Very simply, we could speak of the constant practice of right effort, of mindfulness. Don't let go. Don't separate from the whip and the tether. Even a moment. Lest he wanders into worldly dust. It's now clear that even if he wanders into worldly dust, gets involved in sights or sounds or thoughts or memories, it is nothing other than the bull itself. And yet there is still somewhat of a tension, a conflict. So we must maintain our practice. Once again, the poem begins. Don't let go or separate from the whip and the tether, the rein, even a moment, lest he wanders into worldly dust. Properly tended, taken care of, cultivated, controlled. Properly tended till tame and gentle, like a good farm animal. Properly tended till tame and gentle. You see the image following along obediently behind the boy. And then the last line of the poem. Following of its own accord without entangling bridle. So all the equipment you need to control and rein in the ox now is not necessary. That actually can become an entanglement because it follows of its own accord as long as we maintain the proper attitude. If not, we see what happens. In terms of this retreat, as we are doing, we continue through the day, through the night, through the pleasant and the unpleasant, through a great deal of illusion and maybe even some enlightenment. But we just continue on through. It's wonderful to see so many sitting up through the nights. Some cannot do it because of physical condition, but most of us are staying up and continuing our practice virtually, pretty much 24 hours a day. This is not any kind of a contest or a competition, but it is, as I think you see if you do it, very helpful to maintain a constant practice. If you do need to rest, that's fine too. You can continue your practice that way by resting in samadhi, gently allowing the focus to remain below your belly. Lie down comfortably on your back if you can. And because you're going to sleep, taking a nap, just gently, not quite the same as in zazen, but very gently, almost like a belly rub, huh? Gently let it rest below your belly. If it's done correctly, you'll find you just fall sound asleep. And when it's time to wake up, you just wake up, and it's already there before a thought arises. So, in a way, even if you take a rest, take a nap, the practice can remain constant. Please, as best as each one of you can, continue in the practice. We're about halfway through. We've struggled a lot. Naturally, the first half tends to be more of the banging against the wall of ourself. Hopefully, much of the harder, more stressful, more painful work is done. Still, of course, there will be pain, sometimes even more. The legs get rather wiped out, huh? But we also learn how we can sustain our practice, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. This has wide practical application in the real world, doesn't it? We're not trying to create unpleasant environment. But if there is pain, we sit right through it. If there is pleasure, we sit right through it. It's very important at this point in the practice. I mentioned the Japanese Rinzai master Hakuin, his early experience hearing the temple bell and then meeting with his master Shoju Rojin and being questioned about it and having his nose pulled, huh? Later on, he writes, and he has someone asking a question. It's probably really him with the question, but he makes it as if someone else is asking him the question. It goes like this. But after Kensho, Kensho means literally seeing the nature. This is a statement attributed to Bodhidharma, seeing the true nature and becoming a Buddha. Unfortunately, in the West, it's become a psychological term for a kind of an insight. It originally meant nothing other than awakening, or at least the entrance into genuine awakening. It's a Japanese term, pronunciation of a old Chinese, and actually goes back to a Sanskrit term, Kensho. Again, the question, but after Kensho is attained and you have entered the path of enlightenment, surely there's no evil to obstruct you then. Once again, the questioner. But after Kensho is attained and you have entered the path of enlightenment, surely there's no evil to obstruct you then. How do you respond to this? Hakuin responds, Indeed, there is. It exists if you create it. If you don't create it, it doesn't exist. Then he goes on very kindly, but such distinctions can wait until after you've attained the way. You can pose such questions to yourself, then it won't be too late. Do you see, right at this point, it can be said, there is no obstruction whatsoever. And yet, with just one thought arising, there are endless obstructions. That's why we are at the middle when we look at it as a process in terms of the ox herding pictures. This is just the middle. This is not the end. So please, take care. Once again, quoting Hakuin, but after Kensho is attained and you have entered the path of enlightenment, surely there's no evil to obstruct you then. Hakuin himself answers, indeed there is. It exists if you create it. If you don't create it, it doesn't exist. But such distinctions can wait until after you've attained the way. You can pose such questions to yourself, then it won't be too late. This is very valuable and precise advice for this point in the practice. Returning to the rice crackers, which we have yet to enjoy, from what is written on there, the bird sings. The mountain stillness deepens. At this point, listen slow and long. Just this. The sixth picture is perhaps the most well-known. There are many different versions of it, often taken quite out of context and just given as a picture by itself. A boy, perhaps playing a flute or something like that, sitting on top of the ox, a very idyllic picture. There are similar pictures from the Taoist tradition, so it's not limited to the Buddhist or Zen tradition. As you can imagine, a very natural, ancient image for the Chinese people of kind of at play, enjoyment. Never very far from work, right? The Chinese are never very far from work. So even when they're playing the flute, they're on the ox. It's a very Chinese image. And yet, on the ox, taking him home, the boy is playing the flute. He's working, but he's quite enjoying himself now. There's a change in this from the fifth to the sixth picture. Of course, in a way, there's a change with every picture. At least, artificially, we can see it that way. But here, there's a rather substantial sea change. Up until now, the ox could not be found, didn't even have any idea where to look. The harder we looked, the further away it seemed to be. Then, seeing the traces at least, then all of a sudden catching sight of the ox itself, then through sustained practice, the entire animal, the ox comes into view, and we're able to grasp it, maybe still wrestling with it, but it's there, right there. Then taming the ox, allowing it to do its work. But here, with this sixth picture, which is called From here on in, the titles become a little longer. They use usually four characters rather than just two characters, Chinese characters. So, for example, the last one, Taming Ox. Now, it's four characters. Returning Home, Riding the Ox. It's a little more poetic, perhaps. Huh? So now, it's clear, unmistakable. The way is clear. Returning home. Already, in a sense, home, but certainly returning home with the ox underneath us. Not separate at all from the ox. The boy is riding on the ox. Very different. Up until now, it was a struggle. Taming, seeking, finding. Now, beautifully imaged, the boy is on top of the ox, and the ox is just wandering. Of course it's going home. He doesn't even have to whip it or control it. He can play the flute, enjoy himself. And yet, he is going home. This is not outside of practice. So there's a subtle but very profound change here. Once again, the title for the sixth picture, Returning Home, Riding the Ox. The commentary. The struggle is over. The struggle is over. Loss and gain vanished. Remember in the beginning, the flames, the burning flames of right and wrong and loss and gain, the sword blades and all of this, right? Now, the struggle is over. Loss, gain, vanished. No question of gaining the ox or losing our true nature. Loss and gain both vanish. Humming rustic tunes. So, humming is kind of like... Rustic is a kind of a country, you know, we're not talking about Bach or Beethoven, huh? As wonderful as that is, maybe just a tune from your childhood will do. That's fine, huh? Humming rustic tunes, playing a child's ditty. A ditty is just like a child's song. Nothing particularly profound, Buddhistic or Zenistic. Anything that comes to mind. Humming rustic tunes, playing a child's ditty. Astride the ox, on top of the ox. Astride the ox, gazing at boundless sky. Before he was looking and looking and looking and he just couldn't find anything. He was stuck in all the mud and the weeds. Now, gazing. Completely effortlessly, huh? Whichever way he looks, it's boundless sky. And the ox, riding the ox, is taking him home. Even if called, won't turn round. Even if you call, it won't turn round. It knows where it's going. Nothing is necessary. You don't even need to direct it. You don't even need your little tom-tom, huh? Grasped, will not stop. Grasped, even grasped, will not stop. It goes, at this point, of its own accord. As I mentioned, almost like gravity. Now the poem. Astride the ox, riding on top of the ox. Astride the ox, leisurely wending the way home. Wending means it's going that way, but it doesn't have to go in a straight line on the autobahn. Huh? It can just kind of wander on the country roads, wending, leisurely, no hurry. Astride the ox, leisurely wending the way home. The tune, the boy's playing a little song, huh? The tune dissolves the evening glow. It's very nice Chinese because it's not clear what is dissolving what. Tune dissolves evening glow. Feeling unbound. This is very difficult to translate. We could also say indescribable joy. Very difficult. It's a feeling or a joy that's unbound or indescribable. In each beat and verse. So every note he's playing, this is fully expressed. In tune with each other. Need it be said? In tune with each other. Need it be said? Once again, the prose and the poem. Returning home, riding the ox. The struggle is over. Loss and gain vanish. Humming rustic tunes, playing a child's ditty, astride the ox, gazing at boundless sky. Even if called, won't turn round. Grasped, will not stop. The poem. Astride the ox, leisurely wending way home. The tune dissolves evening glow, feeling unbound or indescribable joy in each beat and verse. In tune with each other, need it be said? The overwhelming image here is the Zen expression, whichever road I take, I'm going home. With the first picture, whichever road I take, it's a dead end. It doesn't help at all. It just tires me out. It doesn't get me any closer. It seems to get me farther away. But now, whatever road I take, I'm going home. As it states in the very beginning, the struggle is over. But there is still a ways to go. This is the sixth picture, you might say the first picture of the second half. But there's still a ways to go. As important as this sixth, returning home riding the ox is, it is not the end. And yet, the struggle is over. Of its own accord now, that is the overwhelming image here, of its own accord. So there's a playful samadhi. There is actually a technical Buddhist term. Rather than a samadhi, one pointed concentration on some object, there's what's called the samadhi of free play. That's what is pictured here. It's often associated with dance or with music, naturally. The playful samadhi of neither self nor other. There's no problem now with a boy or the ox taming it, struggling with it. He's just sitting on top of it, playing the flute, Another expression that sums this up is the Zen saying. It's a Zen saying about a master horseman. When someone is really master of riding a horse, what is it like? The description is, the saddle is what you sit on a horse, a saddle. Above the saddle, no rider. Below the saddle, no horse. That is true riding. That is depicted here. in terms of our practice here at the retreat, the constant practice of right effort naturally reaches fruition, conclusion, reaches fruition in a kind of effortlessness. Hard work and effort was necessary in the beginning, but it culminates, it ends in everything being done of its own accord, a kind of effortlessness. It doesn't come from nowhere. We don't create it, but it doesn't come from nowhere. As the Taoist expression puts it, doing nothing, yet nothing is left undone. Not just doing nothing. Doing nothing in such a way that nothing is left undone. This is the samadhi of play. And as it expresses it in the end of the poem, to those who know this, to those who have experienced it, what words are necessary? As the poem says, in tune with each other, need it be said? To those who know this, no words, no praise are necessary. And yet, in Zen, you must express it. Why? When you get here, you must express it. Why? You might consider that. One of the most famous places in the record of Rinzai, the father of Rinzai Zen, is where he grabs someone and he says, speak, speak. He's not asking for the words. He's not asking for the words. As I mentioned in Song of the South, which perfectly expresses this sixth picture, huh? Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine coming my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. In terms of the bird sings, mountain stillness deepens. Here, each note is perfect and complete in itself. No need for commentary.